Live from the heart of the universe, this is the online edition of the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright
lights. With tonight's guest, organizational psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. Marissa Pay. And performance guest, Matthew Maldonado. I am Mark Leisure, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I've been thinking a lot about our guest, Dr. Marissa Pay, and her book, 8 Ways to Happiness from Wherever You Are. And I had something happen to me just this week that brought a point, a really illustrated a point that I have a feeling we're going to talk about a little later in the show with our guest. I was walking with a friend of mine in my neighborhood, and while we were walking, we were in conversation, and coming towards us was one of my neighbors. And as the neighbor was approaching, I could see that he was wearing a t-shirt, and on the front of the t-shirt were the words, "Why not?" with an exclamation point. And I like that. I wondered, what does that mean to him? And while I'm in conversation with my friend, my neighbor extended his arm with a fist to fist bump me as we were walking, and not to interrupt our conversation and just to say hello. And I fist bumped him and I said, "Why not?" Right? Why not? I was reading his shirt. And he looked at me, then he looked at my friend as if to ask her, like, is he talking to you? Is he talking to me? And I said, "Why not?" And by this point, he had started to kind of walk past us. So we had now passed each other. I turned around and I called out his name and I said, "You know, I just know that a little bit later when you take off your shirt or you look in the mirror, you're going to see why not and say, that's what Filippo was saying. So I just wanted you to know, I'm just reading your shirt." And he said, "Oh, I was wondering." And so we continued with our conversation, my friend and I, and kept walking. The next day, I saw him again. This time he said, "You know, I'm so glad you told me that I had that written on my shirt and you were just reading my shirt, because I didn't know, even when you said, I didn't know, and it took me a moment." And I thought, how many times do we walk out into our life, into our day, into our jobs, into a store, into the neighborhood, and we have written, maybe not actually on our t-shirts, but on our face, maybe on our bodies, the way we're walking, or maybe, if you believe in that, energetically, of how we're feeling or what we're thinking is going to happen to us, like, this is a horrible day and people are going to treat me horribly because that's the way the day's been going and that's the way the day's going. And then people walk up to us or beside us or serve us, or we serve them, whatever the case may be, and they treat us like is written on our shirt, so to speak, like is written in our energy field. And then we wonder why they're doing that. Like, why is everybody doing that to me today? And we might not remember that we woke up in the morning and put on the shirt that said, "Why not?" Or we put on the shirt, to use that analogy, that said, "I don't feel good today," or "I'm not happy today, and I'm going to let you know it. And then you're going to act accordingly, and the rest of my day is not going to go happy." And so with today's guest, I really used what I was learning from the various videos and perusing her book, that there's a choice point here. And we can ask ourselves, what are we wearing? And if we choose, because I have a feeling, and we'll talk about this, that our guest had to choose and had to work to choose happiness. And now she's helping others do the same. I have a feeling if we walk out into our day happy or content or at least feel supported or something positive, that we'd all have a better experience in this life. And right now, I think we all could use a better experience in this life. So this is our episode 864. We have titled our episode just like the title of our guest's book. It's 8 Ways to Happiness from Wherever You Are. Our guest is so many things. She's an organizational psychologist, an inspirational speaker, a network TV commentator. She's a number one best-selling author of a few books and more. And we'll talk about more in a little bit. We've got Dr. Marissa Pei on the Life Changes Show. Welcome, Dr. Marissa.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Happy to have you.
I didn't know quite where you were going with the t-shirt, but I got it now, and absolutely we will get into that story.
Well, then might as well. What say you?
Yeah. Well, I guess I wanted maybe a little more accolades. No, I'm kidding. Because the more, I mean, I think sort of illustrates, let me preface, I did not write the book as a psychologist, which I am, although I, you know, want to make sure everybody understands. I'm not a clinical psychologist by choice. I have a PhD, which only stands for Piled Higher and Deeper, in organizational psychology, because I did not want to have the binds from licensing, and no offense to clinical psychologists and things, but the balance of, you know, having to be in therapy for 10 years to work through something was just not my my desire, because I had spent a lot of time staying in my blame and shame game. So if I had written the book as a psychologist, if I were a clinical psychologist, I would be much more of a teacher, and, you know, this is what the research says, and in my experience, blah, blah, blah. My writing of this book was from the perspective of, I am one of the 7 out of 10 of us who've had childhood trauma. Now, that statistic is actually low compared to what my honorable moniker would say. I am known as the Asian Oprah. I was actually introduced to Oprah as the Asian Oprah. She says it's 8 out of 10. And lots of psychologists today say it's as high as 93%. So the fact is, the majority of us have not been raised in optimal, healthy, loving, supportive homes. And so why is it, if we're the majority, that we think that there's something wrong with us? Why do we think that we'll never catch up? Why do we think we're broken? Why do we think that we are never going to have any semblance of winning in this game called life, because we got started off with a bum leg, or a, you know, behind, we were behind in the race to start with. We had a false start, so to speak. Ooh, I just made that up. I like that. Mm-hmm. So we had a false start, and many of us then, you know, struggle with, did I do something to deserve it? Am I being punished for that? I must have been really bad if I was beaten, if I was blah, 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 blah. My mom, who did the best that she could, and that is, I know it's a psychobabble term, but it is my choice to believe that, She called me fat, ugly, and clumsy because she was a tiger mom on steroids. And there is such a thing in our culture, in the Chinese culture, even though I was born in Canada, but I was raised in Chinese culture, called negative motivation. So if your mother doesn't want you to be fat or ugly, she will call you fat and ugly. Doesn't make sense, but it is not uncommon. When I spoke to a group of women at the embassy in Beijing, there was not a dry eye in the place because they all related. They understood all of this well-meaning, sometimes more mean than well, rearing from mothers. So I grew up believing that I deserved and was and would never, ever feel beautiful or thin. And therefore, I chose a man, which is very common for the 7 out of 10 of us, someone as a mate who would not do the same thing, maybe not physically abuse you, but in terms of treating you so you came out with the same feeling tone that you did growing up. So he would introduce me to his friends as obese behind my back. And wow. I was not obese, but I wasn't thin, you know. And I was, again, trying to get milk from a tractor. That's my version of going to the hardware store for bread. So tractors don't give milk, but you keep going there. Just like I wanted love and approval from my mom, and I never got it because she couldn't do it, not in the way that I wanted. And so I did that same with my husband, who I wanted that same, and he couldn't do it. I asked him like 5 times, if you don't love me, if you don't want to be married, just tell me. I'm okay. We'll just get a divorce. And every single time, he didn't say, I want to be married. I love you. I desire you. He never said that. But I still stayed. Why? Because he didn't not say, I don't. So this is a very common, it's completely illogical. Why would you stay with someone who didn't treat you well? But it is, common sense is uncommon. It is a habit and a pattern that many of us feel like we don't have a choice in changing. And so this whole premise and foundation of the book is to wake up and own, first claim your birthright to happiness, but more so the foundation of owning the fact that, number one, everything bad that happened to you in your past was not your fault. So, you know, there's a lot of talk where, you know, kids think like they deserve it because they must have done something. Otherwise, why would your mother treat you like that, or your priest treat you like that, or you must have done something to deserve it? And I'm here to tell every single one listening who may feel that way, no matter how old you are, you did nothing. Nothing. You were not responsible for that poor treatment or that thing that shouldn't have happened that happened. All right. So please don't ever think that you deserved it because of something you did.
That's huge.
However, it's huge. Yeah. It's huge. Mic drop, right?
Yep.
So I'm not in front of my mic, but
don't drop the phone.
yeah. Excuse me. However, and this is the tough love, we are not responsible for what happened in the past. However, we are responsible for the choice of dragging that, excuse me, oversized emotional baggage from the past into our present, ruining the gift of the present and spewing it on, projecting it on, and predicting what's going to happen in the future.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Before we we move on, you mentioned feel, and that was a big word for me. One of our taglines that we've used in the past is a show like you've never felt before. And so when I read that as a child, you feel like you weren't allowed to feel, or you were told you were not. What's the story on the feeling as a child for you growing up?
If you cry, and this is, you know, this is an American too, don't cry or I'll give you something to cry about.
Yeah.
In my home, if you cried, my mom would interpret it as, you think you're right, therefore you're crying, and I will beat you more. In fact, the Chinese expression is dasani, and dasani means beat death you.
Wow.
So that was pretty big incentive not to feel or not to cry, certainly not to cry. And, you know, we don't even have enough time for this, but I mean, we could go down here. I mean, you have to buy the book. Sorry. And the good news is it's not self-serving. The book actually, part proceeds go to Habitat for Humanity. That is why I picked this particular publisher, Morgan James, on the East Coast, because of that deal. But every chapter in the book, 1 through 8, deals with something that is common for all of us as human beings. Doesn't usually happen to animals or dogs, or especially cats. But the first chapter is out of loneliness into hope. I had my Mental Health Matters series this morning. I'm on the air every weekday morning on NBC News Radio. I'm on my YouTube TV channel live every weekday morning. So you're all welcome to free subscribe and join me. You can chat with me. I have, 1,500 podcast shows is tomorrow. And my special guest is Michael Learned, who was the grandmother of Jeffrey Dahmer on Netflix, 1 billion views, and the mother of the Waltons for those who are hashtag ageless. But I've been doing
congratulations,
this.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I've been doing this because it's a platform for me to be able to, one, not talk about politics, not talk about the headlines. We don't talk about one single headline. We don't talk about religion. We don't talk about problems unless we have a solution. So this show has been, over the last 703 consecutive weeks, but who's counting, my ability to take the book and really break it down so I'm offering this, you know, obviously, because we're not going to get to everything. But I will say that, you know, chapter 4 is how out of heartbreak, right, into love, out of shame, right, out of loss into faith. So everything, whether you have had well-meaning, more mean than well parents or sisters or teachers, even if you've had a good childhood, we all go through shiitake in life. Pain in life is mandatory. Suffering is optional. And yet we have these well-meaning books. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, because bad things happen to everybody. And it makes us so ill-prepared as people to deal with bad things. We either go to the extreme of, oh, it happened in the past, can't fix it, you know, let's just bury it, right? But we all know if what you don't deal with will come back and deal with you. You know, garbage, when you press it down in the disposal, it goes to water and then it goes to solid, then goes to water, and then goes to gas. You press it hard enough. And I work as an executive coach with C-suite leaders and organizations as an organizational psychologist. And I have very successful leaders making a lot of money. And all of a sudden, one morning, they can't stop crying. Or they become mean and start yelling and or buy a Corvette. So there's that is the symptom is leaking gas when you become toxic to other people and yet you can't smell your own gas. So you have to deal with it. Then the other extreme is what I mentioned at the beginning is dealing with it all the time. Every time I'm going to start, I'll have a drink and then I'll be happy and then I'll start thinking about, oh, poor me. Blame. Why did they? How could they? Why would they? And then, that just leads to practiced depression, which is a whole nother subject when I that I will, I deal with these all on Mondays. So the bottom line is you we are taught in America. The American dream is you can anybody, no matter where you're from, can make a lot of money, can have the biggest house, the best car, we can amass fame and fortune. It's possible. Caste system doesn't work here. It doesn't matter how you're born. But we kind of missed out on something because that's called professional mastery. And professional mastery looks good on the outside. However, if you peel the layers back and you ask Robin Williams and Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, and the list goes on. Okay, you have professional mastery. Why aren't you happy? Because they didn't have personal mastery. And UCLA, I taught there for 6 years in the MBA school. They brought me back last year to teach a course because of the book called Leadership, Success, and Happiness. And usually we think if you're a leader, you're at the top, you're lonely, you're not gonna make everybody happy, and it's lonely at the top, and you may not be happy, but you're successful. And that's bullshit-talky. Because if you're a person with a lot of professional mastery, and yet you have a fear of failure, fear of success, you're a perfectionist, nothing you ever do is good enough, you're only as good as your last success, you have 99 compliments, but you're focused on that one insult, and you are afraid. You go on that perfectionistic slide, which is perfectionism down to procrastination. I've always wanted to be a procrastinator, but never got around to it. And then paralysis. So that slide, not that fear, right? That's you have. I meet and get to work with as a coach, a happiness coach, or a law of attraction coach with really successful people who have no personal mastery because they care too much about what other people think and have no clue. If I ask them, who are you at the core of who you are and what do you want? They can't answer the question. Oh, I'm a mother. No. That's what you're doing for somebody else. I'm a father. You're doing that. I'm a boss. You're doing that for someone. At the core of who you are, do you know who you are? And do you know you're supposed to be happy 80% of the time? Did you know you're supposed to have fun in life? Did you know that you can actually have fun now before you have that mansion? That after you buy it 6 months later, things start falling apart, and then you're worried about, making the mortgage or making the nut, and you have to pay more for this and pay more for that? The expiration date of happiness, if you're focused on things or relationships, the perfect partner. People say, you were dying to get married and now you're dying to get divorced, right? I'll be happy when I get married, and now you're gonna be happy when you get divorced, when this is over. So, folks, we all can choose at this very moment to up our happiness factor by a lot if we quit giving the choice away. And most of us do it every day. You know how? You plug your phone in by your bed, and the first thing you do when the alarm goes off is pick up your phone, start using your fingers, and do MS, meaningless scrolling. And you stop on things that shock and awe you, because if it bleeds, it leads. That's the whole point of a producer's choosing of what news to put on, is what will make you say, what is wrong with people? Or is the world going to hell in a handbasket?
Or what
Okay.
is wrong with me, right?
Or and then it's called the effinator, right? First, it's negative stuff, negative news, right? And then it is worst case scenario, right? Oh, if that's bad, what if you can have a t-shirt printed with that on it? What if? And then it's almost always worst case scenario, right? Oh my God. What if he's here for another 4 years? Or, oh my God, what if he isn't here for another 4 years? All these worst case scenarios, we live in this fear, and fear stands for future events already ruined. Yeah, guess what? You ain't gonna be happy. You're not gonna be happy now. You're not gonna be happy even when you get what you wanted or what you thought you wanted.
Why get up?
The song, right? I'll be happy when. Okay, what's when? That when just moved. You have the amount of money you said you would be happy with. Now what? Oh, no, wasn't enough. That was before inflation. That was before. Blah, 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 blah. I'll be happy when I go on vacation. Do you know how many of my clients go on vacation and sit by the pool and then work or plan the next vacation? They're not there. We're not here, folks. We're choosing to allow, my big brother Michael Bernard Beckwith calls it, news is a weapon of mass distraction. So I got rid of my TV 10 years ago. I'm on TV, but I don't watch TV. I do not scroll for posts, because I know that AI is bringing me all those things that are making other people freak out and wants to freak me out too. And no matter how many times I touch puppies or, kids, which make me smile, it's gonna, the algorithm is gonna go where it wants to go. So what do I do? I don't look. I post, I'm a giver, but I don't take. And I choose to not talk about things that don't make me feel good. It's amazing to me when people go, I hate seeing that. I hate seeing that. I hate seeing that. It's like, honey, then quit looking at it. Nobody's putting a gun to your head to watch the tower go down again.
So the from wherever you are, so that's you're addressing that when you say not when, like I'm going to be happy when. So from wherever you are, so wherever anybody is, this is the moment, this is the now, as you were talking about earlier, where we make that choice.
That's it. It's the ch word. It's not the C word. It's the ch word. I don't have the P word or the C word. I hate compromising. I'm not a big fan of collaborating, to be honest. That's why the name of my show is Take My Advice. I'm not using it. Get balanced with Dr. Marissa. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's not a light switch. That's why. You asked if there were, I don't call it homework, it's home play. But I would invite
Nice.
you, if you're not going to do it with me at 9 a.m. every morning, you at Pacific time, you can do it with whoever. And it's called breakfast, taking a bite of my gratitude sandwich. Top of the bun, you take your hand, you put it over your brow, and you look around. You just do a 180. What am I grateful for? This morning was toilet paper. Now you know what I did first. Okay. So you look outside. You can't say friends and family. That's too general. But I'm grateful for my coffee. I'm grateful for what I got going on today. I got to go to a press conference at the Biltmore. It was a celebrity blah blah at this Asian beauty pageant that is integrating beautiful inside and out. I'm on my way down after this to the Newport Beach Film Festival. I'm one of the sponsors of the Chinese Spotlight Film, and I get to introduce the film, and I've done that for 9 years now. I choose activities. I choose people. I choose words. I choose reading. I choose. That is my superpower. I can ooze whatever I want to think about. Nobody can tell me what to think about. They can suggest it. I can entertain it. But if it doesn't make me feel good, I don't. Now, some things do happen where you have to think about them and it doesn't feel good. So let me not, no spiritual bypass. I'm fine. How do you feel? I'm fine. You know what fine stands for? Effed up, irrational, neurotic, and emotional. Okay.
That's a first for me.
Oh, good.
Did you make that?
I don't. I wish I did, but I don't know who did. Like... So I will take credit. Okay. So that is, I did make up husband. That is mine.
I heard that.
Yeah. Yeah. Formerly known as, I don't know if I have SEC violations on my show because I go to NBC News Radio.
Oh, seriously.
So okay. I can't swear. Yeah. Seriously, I didn't ask you that ahead of time, but that's why I've adopted stand-up comedy, is I'm allowed to and encouraged to swear. So my alter ego does stand up now, but because I'm so grateful that all those people who told me that I was doing too many things, I have 8 jobs, I have 8 specific things that I love to do. And I, all my life, people have said, you know, jack of all trades, master of none. You've got to, you know, bullshit-talky. I've managed to do it. And guess what? They came to me 6 months ago and said, you know what? You're the poster child of multi-hyphenate. And I'm like, is that a bad thing? I had no idea what that meant. But now it's the trashing of that whole BS belief system that you cannot do more than one thing. That's another chapter.
Yeah, go on.
Speaking
of 8 jobs, I was going to say you're going to be hosting the LA fundraiser for Heaven and Earth Oasis, the nonprofit organization. Because you host a lot of things. But so Valerie Heath, who's head of the organization, mm-hmm. who founded it, introduced us. And she's having an event in November on Saturday the 8th. And people can go to heavenandearthoasis.org to find out about it and to get to see Dr. Marissa Pay there. And we're actually going to be sharing a stage because I'll be co-hosting as well.
Oh.
So we'll have a great time.
Oh, that is going to be very fun.
It's going to be very fun. Oh my gosh. Especially now that I know you, forget about it.
Yeah, well, it's going to turn into a roast. You don't know that, but I'm roasting you.
Oh, no. I'll brace myself.
Well, the best thing about that event, it's at Lowry's, which has amazing, not just the prime rib, for those who don't eat the meat, the Yorkshire pudding is to die for. So I told her, I will MC for you again. But
for Yorkshire pudding?
It has to be at Lowry's. I kid you, ask her. She'll tell you that's exactly what I said. So
oh my gosh, that's funny. I should say it's a nonprofit organization where they dedicate offering healing arts to veterans. And by healing arts, they do complementary and alternative healing modalities that support the physical, emotional, and mental health well-being of those who have served. So that's heavenandearthoasis.org. And you, Dr. Marissa Pay, are at drmarissa.life. And that's doctor as in DR, Marissa, MARISSA.life. And your podcast is called...
Get Balanced with Dr. Marissa. The long name is Take My Advice. I'm not using it. But honestly, just ask my assistant Google Asian Oprah on social media and it'll take you to every single link or Asian Oprah online. I mean, you can't miss me. So there's so much out there. You can get my red carpet playlist for free. My interviews with Halle Berry, John Travolta, Quincy Jones, who flirted with me in Mandarin. I can say that now. He's on the other side.
In
But
Mandarin,
yes,
okay.
twice. Twice. I love that man. I really wish he would have asked me out for a date before he died. But anyways, maybe on the other side. But I look forward to meeting you and
Likewise.
roasting you.
It'll
And it'll be a lot of fun.
be a lot of fun. Eight ways to happiness from wherever you are. And I know where you are. You're in between these two events, like we talked about. So all the best. Thank you for jumping on with us. Again, that is the book with the foreword by Michael Bernard Beckwith.
My big brother.
It's
And
available where books are sold. Yes.
no, I'll be bringing some to do book signings there. So if you wanted a signed copy, you can get one there. $20 donation. That'll go to all the proceeds. Plus, you'll get a free $20 audiobook that I narrate. So it's a great deal. If you can't make it there, let me know and I'll still give you that deal.
That's Dr. Marissa.life. That's where you can reach her, Dr. Marissa, Marissa dot life. What a pleasure, Dr. Marissa. Thank you so much. And I look forward to the next time we connect in November, actually.
Will do. Look
Until
forward
then,
to
all the
it.
best. Ciao, ciao.
All right. Peace in, peace out. World peace through inner peace.
Nice. And that was Dr. Marissa Pay, our interview guest here on the Life Changes Show. And now it's time for our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Dee Dee, and I'm so lost and confused. I am not who I always have been. In the past, I was a bright light, and I helped so many people recognize their brilliance and change their lives. Now I am stuck in a pattern that does not serve me. Until recently, I felt totally connected with Source, and now I feel disconnected. What the heck is going on, and how can I change?
Precious Dee Dee, what you're describing is something that happens more often than people admit, especially to those who have been the light for others. You've given so much of your energy and guidance outward for so long that it sounds like your inner flame, the part that fuels you, has dimmed a little. That doesn't mean it's gone. You've been the giver, the motivator, the one holding space for others. That role can slowly drain your reserves if you don't refill them regularly. I believe that your light hasn't gone out. It's just dimmed under the weight of exhaustion, self-doubt, or perhaps a deep transition that your spirit is asking you to move through. And yes, you absolutely can change, but not by forcing yourself to be who you were, but by allowing yourself to evolve. You're not meant to return to who you were. You're meant to evolve into who you are becoming. The first step is to release judgment and accept that this lost feeling is sacred ground for rebirth. And please know that you can and will change. But the change might not look like going back. It may be about becoming a wiser, deeper, more authentic version of the leader you once were. You have the answers and simply need to take some time to remember what your true mission and purpose is. One way you can do this is to ask yourself what you would tell a client who is asking the same question you are asking me. And, dear Dee Dee, it is most important that you understand that your light hasn't gone out. It's just dimmed under the weight of exhaustion, self-doubt, or perhaps a deep transition that your spirit is asking you to move through. What you're describing is something many wise, heart-centered people go through at some point, especially those who've given so much of themselves to helping others. Periods of confusion often mean you're evolving. The version of you that led with ease and inspiration served a purpose, but now life may be calling you to grow beyond that form. Sometimes your old ways of shining stop working because a new light is trying to come through. When you've spent years lifting others, your energy field can run on empty. It's common to feel disconnected, boggy, or even resentful, not because you failed, but because you haven't received as much as you've given. Your body and soul might be saying, "Please fill me back up." So, precious Dee Dee, let's remember that you have the power to reconnect with your higher self and the ability to reconnect with Source. You might want to begin each day by connecting with Source like I do. Upon awakening, I say a prayer of gratitude, thanking God for showing me what I need to see and hearing what I need to hear in order for me to be the best me I can be. When I do this, I feel connected instantly. I look forward to hearing what you would share with the client if your client asks you the same question you have asked me. I know that you have the perfect answer and trust that you will do this quickly.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
And now it's time for our performance segment. We are delighted to have the alternative rock band 42 out on the show. And by band, I mean the whole band. We have the lead singer, guitarist, Matthew Maldonado. We have the bass player, Ethan Chandler, and the drummer, Tom Burton. Welcome, 42 out, to the Life Changes Show.
Hi, thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
It's so great to have you. I recognize that voice. That's Matt.
Yes.
Well, actually, so Matt, I have to say that it was a delight to come upon your work at in Tehachapi. Now, I had not heard of Tehachapi, and all of a sudden I am in Tehachapi and I love Tehachapi and I can't wait to come back. And you were one of the highlights to hear you sing. And now, because of that beautiful trip, we have you all on the show. Let me ask you, I don't know, actually maybe one of the three of you, maybe Tom, who's been there the most, how do you describe Tehachapi? Because that's a part of America that I think we need to know about.
Well, that happened a long time ago. I moved up here in 1992 from the Orange County, LA area. And it was kind of a hidden jewel because I was forcibly moved up here for work and was going to settle in the Antelope Valley. And people kept saying, hey, there's a cool little town north of that. And it's called Tehachapi. And I went ahead and came and checked it out. And it turned out to be 34 years later, I'm still here. So
nice.
It's a beautiful town. It's a small town, but it's got a pretty big heart.
It, up in the mountains, right? You get snow, right? It's just like most people go the other direction in California, but you're exactly 42 miles from Bakersfield. That's what I learned from you. And why did I learn that?
Yeah, we're 42 out from Bakersfield. That's kind of how we came up with our name, which is people kind of, like I said, when we were talking a little bit before, people think it's 420, but it's 42 out, and we're 42 out from Bakersfield. And we get all four seasons up here. So we're in California. Can you be in the snow and actually go to the beach at the same time? It's kind of nice.
Nice. Well, actually, Tom, while you and I are talking, might as well continue with you for just a little longer because you've been there a long time. But just a couple of years ago, Ethan showed up. And then just a year ago, Matthew showed up. So just tell me a little bit about these guys as you were getting to know them and bringing them into the band.
Yeah, well, I had actually been acquainted with Ethan for probably a good year and a half. We have a really nice open mic night up here. We have several of them, but there was one in particular that is most popular up here. So we would frequent that. Well, I would frequent that, and there's all kinds of just local talent that come in there, and we go ahead and just everybody plays, and I watched Ethan play quite a few times, and I specifically liked his genre and had been actually trying to get in a band myself a long time with that type of genre. So he was on the plate. And then Matt came into town just like about a year ago, and he played one night, and I saw him play. I saw him perform, and I did just short of getting him in a headlock and saying, okay, this guy's, he's coming with me. And I went ahead and grabbed Ethan. I said, hey, I think we got something special here and let's try to form a band. And we've actually been together now about, I'd say around 6 months, heavily playing, regularly. And it just from the very start, it just worked. These two are extremely talented musicians, both of them. I look at Ethan is he's well versed in music, in the theory and everything. Matt is well versed. He can rip on the guitar. So can Ethan too. He's our bass player, but he's actually a guitar player too. And I'm just blessed to be playing with these guys and have a chance to just be involved in their talent.
Very nice. So on our way to hearing a song and on our way to getting to you, Matt, and the vocal things that you do, I want to talk to Ethan real quick since you're here with us. And
hello.
I just have to say kudos to you all. When we heard Matt and then we invited him on the show, we had no idea that there was this whole band, and he didn't want to come on solo. He wanted to come on with the band. Turns out you all were so new, didn't even have music recorded. So in a short time, you all got a website up and you got all this stuff going so that you could make it happen. And we said, well, we can postpone. You're like, no, we want to do it. And then you went and recorded. So how did these recordings happen? Because I know that there's a great story there.
Yeah, so we knew that doing it track by track, people usually do it nowadays, would just take too much time. It takes months to get it perfect. So we opted to go for the live recording route, where we just got into Tom's room, which is also our practice room. So we're pretty acquainted with jamming in there. We know how it sounds. We got the mixer set up and plugged it into the computer and got this nice sound where we're all playing off each other. Because we're all playing at the same time, we've got the headphones in, we can hear everything really nice. And then from there, you know, mixing it, putting it together.
Kind of like it used to be done.
Like it used to be done. Yeah, I know people get super into the weeds and making everything perfect nowadays. But we, you know, went kind of with the old style where, you know, there's imperfections, but those imperfections kind of play off everyone else's imperfections and kind of make it... a little more natural.
Nice. I like that. So, Matt, we're going to talk to you a little bit more about when you started, but let's hear a song. So, actually, this first song, I think, needs a little bit of an intro from you. So, you've written this song. I think I heard you sing it, and I think is what made me say, you know, let's have you on the show. So, tell us about it.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed it. The first one we wanted to display is Lost Generation. And the idea behind the song is I grew up right before social media was widely used. And I saw social media become extremely prevalent along with the internet and all kinds of communications technology. And I've just felt like even though people are more connected with technology than ever, they're actually more divided and they're more unable to appreciate each other's differences. Mm. And people have so much negativity and judgment, but they don't necessarily understand where other people are coming from. And even if they might disagree, they choose to go to the most extreme assumption sometimes about why another person has a different idea. And it could just be that they haven't considered why that person has a different opinion. And it's not just that. It's just the way I've noticed people treat each other. You know, people don't open doors. They don't seem to look out for each other. And I think that's what we really need nowadays is neighbors loving neighbors. You know, love your neighbor, look out for your neighbor. So that's kind of what popped into my head. And one of the lyrics in the song is, don't be so hard on your neighbors because they all have their labors. Mm. And... you know, that's, to me, one of the core messages of the song is just that everyone has things that they're struggling with, things they're going through, and it's important to respect that and try to, rather than tearing each other down, we should be building each other up.
Wow. Let's hear it. This is pre-recorded Lost Generation here for the first time for the whole world here on the Life Changes Show. Alternative rock band 42 Out with Matthew Maldonado, Ethan Chandler, Tom Burton. Let's hear it now.
Mm-hmm. course correction. Don't be so hard on your neighbors, 'cause we all have our labors. We can only keep pushing ahead. We meet not tomorrow, and God only knows what I'll be if I can keep it together. This world only knows what it sees, so we have to remember we all have a struggle, so we should be closer attention. And God only knows what becomes of the lost generation. Who knows, who knows, lost generation. Who knows, who knows, lost generation. Another day here in the life of a wandering soul. This world only knows what it sees. It's what we have to remember. We all have a struggle, so we should be closer attention. And God only knows what becomes of the last generation. Who knows, who knows. And God only knows what may come of the last generation. Who knows, who knows, 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 last generation.
Out. Thank you so much. So you could be the one of the first to go to the brand new website, the number 4 and the number 2 out, 42out.com, and there you can check them out. I don't think you're gonna have to get to Hatchapi to see them. I think they're gonna be touring. I'm feeling Vegas. I'm just saying. Speaking of, actually, Matthew or Matt,
sure,
you've been singing in bars since you were 13.
Yeah,
explain that to me.
So I'm not sure if it was 12 or 13, but since I was a wee little guy, even smaller, you know, so it was pretty funny growing up with a father as a musician. He plays horns, and his band would play bars, restaurants, coffee houses, and what have you. So sometimes I would get up and sing. And yeah, there was definitely some places I sang at that a kid probably normally wouldn't be allowed in. So that was a fun experience.
Yeah, probably normally, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to interrupt, go.
No, it's fine. It's fine. So yeah, so definitely outside of the norm. But I've always been a singer, and for me, singing is what came naturally. The instruments is what I've had to put more work into, which is, I think, it's just a matter of time. I try to always improve. So,
is because of singing with your dad's band or because of various interests that you've had in exposure that you not only are able to like to sing in many different genres, but also mash them up?
It's a combination. I was exposed to a lot of blues and jazz growing up, and I also happened to like reggae and ska and rock and alternative as I grew up. So the mix, the combination was really helpful in developing my interests because I could hear, sometimes I was listening to one genre and I could hear, oh man, what if we added this other genre right in the middle, smack dab, you know? And sometimes I would experiment combining things. And there's some things I think I wrote when I was younger that I wouldn't even want anyone to hear me play now because I feel like I didn't really know what I was doing, but I still feel that way sometimes. But I do like mixing genres and kind of being the little bit of a mad scientist, but still trying to keep things digestible for as many people as possible.
Well, I have to say, when that song that we just heard, Lost Generation, when I first heard it, I thought, oh, wow, it kind of feels like this kind, and it feels like that kind, and it also feels like a nod to a pastime.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I have a combination of old and new influences, and I think it's important to not restrict yourself. To me, I think the music, at least for me, the music that interests me the most usually has a lot of variety. I don't want to be typecast as just country or just blues or anything like that. I like being able to write all kinds of styles.
One of the things that I actually was surprised to hear how you had heroes from the past that I wouldn't expect musicians of today to, but nowadays, talk about social media and all the videos that are available and all that. Maybe I shouldn't be surprised at all because it's all there. And what is it to you? You tell me, is it like new to you? Or is it like, this stuff is cool and we're not hearing it today, so let's do it? What is it for you?
I think it's a combination. I think some of it is me wanting to keep certain styles alive, but it's also me appreciating new styles and wanting to combine them. You know, I always wondered what would happen if you took like the Temptations and you took all the singers and the writers from the Temptations and you put them with a ska band or a punk rock band, right? And you just told them like, all right, you're going to write your songs together now. Wow. So to me, that's a huge,
I want to hear it now.
Absolutely. Yeah. I drive my bandmates crazy all the time with, doing different versions of things. When we play covers, we did a Cure song. But instead of the normal version, we did, a reggae version, kind of like 311 did with a Love Song. Then we also did a mashup with a Johnny Cash song, and we threw in some Rob Zombie guitar influence.
Wow. I actually don't know what that is, but it sounds like something different than Johnny Cash would have done for sure.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get to hear another song, but I have to say, it's interesting, again, if people knew Tehachapi, it looks like this Western, I don't know, like it's a town that you might see in a movie, and there's a stoplight, I think, or maybe there are two or three, but it's just like, and to find this quality of a band, and then I know, Matt, for you too, that you went, you had your own reasons for going there, family and that. But what was it like finding people that relate with you and your music and all of a sudden take your music to a whole other level?
Well, it's just been an absolute blessing. That's been one of my struggles, is I was in LA and it was hard to find good people to surround myself with that were committed to the same extent. And now that I have a group that's so supportive and hardworking, and they help keep me in check. It's really important because I think that's part of what makes life special is just doing important things with important people. And we don't have to agree on everything, but what we do agree on is treat people well and love your neighbor and try to live a fulfilling life. And we're really trying to spread good messages and good music. And we'd love to do bigger events. And I'm a big fan of doing charity gigs and raising money for veterans and any other things we can do. So it's just been a blessing.
Well, more power to you all. We're going to be blessed by another song here again. This is a world premiere recorded for this night here on the Life Changes Show, recorded in the same way that Ethan shared with us earlier. It is set in stone and it kind of speaks for itself, but Matt, do you want to say anything about it?
Yeah. I've had a lot of good people in my life, and that it kind of came to the rescue when life fell apart last year. And honestly, it was a blessing in disguise. I haven't been single in over 10 years. So I've been really able to focus on bettering myself and putting myself in a better place, you know, mentally and every other way. And the song is about basically looking for something real and not being in a rush, not being in a hurry, you know, because you'll know when you find something important.
Mm. And so here it is, set in stone, pre-recorded for the Life Changes Show. You'll hear it first tonight. Set in Stone by alternative rock band 42 Out.
Shining all so bright. this time. So let's take this smooth and slow. I know that nothing's set in stone. I can get you off my mind. So I'll sing this one more time. So let's take this smooth and slow. I know that nothing's set in stone. I can't get you off my mind. Now that I've got all this time, I'm set in stone.
Set in stone. 42 out. Go to 42out.com and you'll also find them on Facebook and Instagram at the moment. 42 out. How exciting. I have to ask you, Matthew, I was feeling for that song, like what you were describing earlier, kind of like the Temptations or the Four Tops combined right. with, Four Seasons kind of thing combined with maybe Nirvana, Pearl Jam. You tell me.
Yeah, definitely. That one was definitely a mix of like old school pop or soul music, kind of like Motown-esque.
Yes.
And there's definitely some reggae influence in there, kind of like Sublime or Expendables, and then a little bit of alternative rock. Exactly like a, like a Smashing Pumpkins or a
yes.
Pearl Jam, right?
Yeah. Well, and it's completely all your own. More power to all of you. I'm excited about this and can't wait to hear more from your camp. Who was doing the background vocals, by the way? Who was?
All of us.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good on you. I don't know. Who was it? Tom, that said before every show, you all do what?
You want to hear half of that or the whole thing? So we always bow and pray before every gig and just nice. Be thankful that we have the opportunity to do it. And then nice. If the situation warrants, we might do a shot before we go into the show. So we go prayer and a shot. How's that?
Prayer and a shot. And I don't remember. I think it was Tom who said, or who was it? Was it you who said, Jesus turned water into wine for a reason?
Oh, that was Matt.
That was Matt. Okay. Well, more power to all of you. Can't wait for the next song to come out. Please do let us know when it does. And big thank you and happy and all the best to lead singer and guitarist Matthew Maldonado, bass player Ethan Chandler, drummer Tom Burton. This is alternative rock band 42 out for the first time on radio here on the Life Changes Show, and looking forward to so much more. All the best to you all. Until next time.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, gentlemen. So with a big thank you to 42 Out and another big thank you to Dr. Marissa Pay and to Valerie Heath of Heaven and Earth Oasis for introducing us to Dr. Marissa Pay. That is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our executive producer and co-host, Mark Lejeune, and our whole family here at the Life Changes Show, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you that as your life changes, like ours surely did tonight, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at the Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.